This is a very, very special day because we have many things all at once. Of course, we have this second Sunday in which we read from the Eucharistic Gospel, part of the Eucharistic chapter of that Gospel, chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel, in which Jesus announces, promises that he himself is the bread of heaven, and that he will give us that bread from heaven, that is, himself, that is, the Eucharist. What more can you want? Also, of course, it is the first Saturday of this month of August, which is the month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And thus, it is a very, very special day, and it is a day on which those who come here under the regular circumstances of the law may receive the plenary indulgence for praying before this miraculous image of Our Lady of Fatima that has been here since 1929. In addition, we celebrate a very special feast that has mainly to do with this parish and shrine. It is the feast of the invention, of the finding, which is what the word invention means. It doesn't mean, you know, I invented something new. It means I found something. The invention of the relic of St. Stephen. And so we are celebrating all these things together. And during this month, we will have many days that we will be very blessed by the graciousness of Our Lady and of God and of His Excellency the Bishop, because we will have, as always, the 13th of the month, which is a plenary indulgence day, Fatima Day. And then this month, we have the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and we have the feast on the 22nd of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in the martyrology, the rite in which this church mainly celebrates. And then, not only that, but on the 26th of this month, we have the Feast of Our Lady of Częstochowa from Poland. And in thanksgiving to her, who saved us so many years ago on that day, August the 26th, the bishop has granted also a plenary indulgence every year on that day, the Feast of Our Lady of Częstochowa. And I'm sure most people would not be able to spell it or pronounce it if they read it. So that's okay. Just follow my lead. But so many, many, many wonderful things that we have here in this shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima, the Immaculate Conception. And here we continue to read this very special pericope of the Gospel of St. John, when our Lord announces he has already performed a miracle which was real. It's not some imaginary thing that the evangelist wrote a few years later thinking, oh, maybe that's what really happened. No, no, it happened. There were about 40, 50,000 persons, maybe more. And our Lord fed them at his blessing with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And he told the apostles, start giving them out. And at the end of the meal, they had 12 wicker baskets left over. And of course, that is exactly what happened. But everything that happens is no accident. It is by the grace of God, by the providence of God, because we have the 7, 5, and 2. Everything is 7. The 7 days of creation, the 7 sacraments, the 7 gifts of the Holy Ghost. And then we have 12, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles. Everything is all very much lined up by God. It is no accident. It is no fabrication of the imagination of men. But here we have that he performs this miracle, and they were getting ready to take him off to make him king. I don't know why they would think that because he was king that he would do more miracles than he was already doing. He made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame not only walk but run like stags in the mountains. And so many miracles, the dead rise from the dead. And so we have here another very, very palpable, very tangible means that with these little things he fed this humongous crowd, as he still does today. But then he says, this is nothing. Do not think that you have seen it all, and you haven't. You will see it later. And of course, that which he promises is something that's beyond our comprehension, beyond our imagination. Without the gift of faith, which is necessary for salvation, necessary for entrance into heaven, we cannot possibly believe in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist, in the fact that at his word, which is transmitted down by the power of holy orders, of ordination, of bishops and priests, not anybody else, that when those words are pronounced within the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the bread and wine that are on the altar presented to him for his blessing by the power of the Holy Spirit become the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. The Jews in the desert received the manna from on high, that very mysterious bread from on high. And people, scientists, have been trying to figure out what it was. They have all kinds of ridiculous theories. And of course, the word manna comes from the word that originally in Hebrew at that time meant, what is it? Manhu? And from manhu came manna. What is it? Is this that's falling down like rain from the heavens? That was the manna from on high, the bread. And of course, he speaks also about the quail. But it could have been fish for all that. Even if it was a desert, our Lord could have produced that. What a wondrous thing. And only faith can obtain these gifts. Now sometimes there are those who have no faith. And they may have the reality, the miracle before their eyes and not believe. And then whose loss is it? But their own. But for those who have faith, it is indeed the life that keeps giving life forever. For those who believe, it is the most precious blood whose month we have just celebrated, who keeps being poured out from his side and from his hands and feet and his head until the end of time. Not in heaven. In heaven, we have the risen Christ who can suffer no longer. And so today, as we consider all these wondrous gifts, we give thanks to God. Now, about the finding or the invention of St. Stephen, after his death, he was the first martyr, proto-martyr. And this, of course, will be seen when it's finished in the portico out there, where there are symbols for Jesus, for Mary, the Immaculate Heart, and for St. Stephen, the first martyr. He was buried quickly and hidden. And in the 5th century, so that far ahead, in the 5th century, a priest from Jerusalem, for some reason, got the inspiration that they really needed to find the body of this most holy man, St. Stephen. And so he prayed, and he received messages in a dream, and our Lord oftentimes does speak to us in dreams. That doesn't mean that we should be holden to dreams by any means, only if the church or our spiritual director allows it. And he was told where to dig, to go to the bishop, to the patriarch of Jerusalem, and they went. They went together with the people who were to dig. And not only did they find the body, the relic of St. Stephen, they found four coffins, all very well marked. That of St. Stephen, that of the great teacher of Israel, St. Gamaliel, who also became a Christian, and he was martyred. And then also St. Nicodemus and St. Abibon. All of these saints from the time of Christ. And from touching these relics, many people were healed. And the relics, of course, were, as relics are, split up and sent to this church and that church and the other church. And so the relic of St. Stephen, the main relic of St. Stephen, was taken to Rome, where it is today in the Basilica of St. Lawrence outside the walls, another deacon and martyr. And then some of it was taken to the Basilica of St. Juliana in Padua, right next door to St. Anthony of Padua's Basilica, and then all over monasteries and cathedrals throughout Europe. And the others, I have no idea where they are, but they are in their proper place. But today we are particularly concerned with the finding of the relic, the true relic, of the body of St. Stephen, who suffered first for Christ after Pentecost. May he continue to bless us and be with us until the end of time. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.